Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of the First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's holy word. And for this hour, as always, it is my great privilege to serve as host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My guest for the preponderance of our hour is Pastor Gregory Johnson of the St. Matthew Greater Independent Church over in West Philly. There was a day when Pastor Johnson and I shared a faith column in the Philadelphia Daily News. Today we will be sharing conversation over these airwaves. But first, we look again to the book of Acts, again to the first chapter. Again we read in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is a very powerful portion of Scripture, the opening salvo to the Acts of the Apostles, and it begins in a very endearing way, as we have already accentuated. We accentuate afresh. It is written to a man named Theophilus, that is, lover of God. And would that men like Pastor Johnson and I have congregations filled to overflowing with Theophilus-like people, men and women who are lovers of God. I am blessed to have some. I have no doubt that Pastor Johnson is as well, but we'll take as many as we can get. O Theophilus, written by the dear doctor, as the Apostle Paul was affectionately wont to describe Luke, the author of the Gospel, and now the author of Acts of the Apostles. The dear doctor, writing to this lover of God, begins by discussing, giving a synopsis, if you will, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach before he was taken up into heaven. All that he began to do and to teach. Let it be understood here and now, as we have heretofore shared, we share afresh what Jesus commenced doing and teaching. It is given to the Church of Jesus Christ to continue doing and to continue teaching. He was giving these instructions, he was giving these commands, if you will, to the apostles, and the entire edifice of the Christian Church and the message of the gospel is predicated upon her apostolic foundations. But a foundation needs to be built upon. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, or for those of us who are seeking after Christ, perhaps we haven't yet entered into a full understanding or experience as of yet. But to that end, let it be helpful to understand that right now we are existent and we are ministering and proclaiming from the 21st floor, as Pastor Johnson and I and others sharing the work with us. We continue in the work and we continue to give instruction in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ 2,000 years ago, today, 2,000 years later, the work and the message continue. And we know that Christ presented himself in a very visceral and real way. And God's people are called to do comparably today. We are not to be hiding behind the walls of the church, though those church buildings be great blessings, though they be centers of mission, though they be home base, if you will. We are not called by God to remain behind walls. And that gospel is to be taken to the outer ends of the earth. It is my privilege to be sharing the gospel in Conshohocken and across these airwaves. In the very least, It is the privilege of Pastor Johnson to be sharing the gospel in West Philly and no doubt throughout much, if not all, of Philadelphia. And as we present this message and as we present our lives as being suffused by this message, always remember that the best witness is an embodiment, not simply a proclamation, but an embodiment, the one giving substantiation to the other. If any of you are attending to this message and you know not Christ, but you are listening because you are interested, or because there was nothing else on, or because it simply came on after the preceding program, or because down deep in your soul, you're seeking after who and what is the truth, I tell you now, I speak on the authority of God's word, that when one pronounces this gospel message and simultaneously is living the message, then you want to listen and you want to attend to him or her and to the message which brings transformative power. As the Apostle Paul put it in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for by this gospel the power of God unto salvation is revealed. It is revealed unto righteousness by faith from first to last. And it is given first to the Jew, and then, praise God as well, to the Gentile. Jesus presented this gospel in his very person, and he expects the same of us. We are so commissioned. So as we move further into the text, we read while he was staying with them. And let us understand this as well. This is a word of assurance for every Christian. It is a word of promise to every non-believer who would give thought to Christ. Christ never, ever leaves us, nor does he ever forsake us. You know, often I have heard that Buddhism is the noblest counterpart, if you will, to the message of the gospel. That may or may not be true. But what I can tell you is that if you had encountered the Buddha in the flesh, you would have found a man that you would have come to like very quickly and very deeply. From all that I have read of the Buddha, he was a very affable man. You could not help but be enchanted by him. That being said, the message that this affable man gave was contradictory to the message of Christ. The message of the Buddha was, for all of his affability, his message was the following: you're on your own. The message of the gospel is that you are never on your own, because Christ went on record, public record, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. I learned this very definitively and very profoundly, literally 2 years ago, when I found myself at the Mayo Clinic undergoing very profound and difficult cardiac surgery. The Spirit of the living Christ never left me. I grew to know his presence and to cherish his presence at a very intimate and a very deep and meaningful level. I know the promise of Christ to be true. He has never left me, nor has he ever forsaken me. He will never leave nor forsake you either. But for the few days that he was with the apostles, comparably for the remainder of our days that he is with us, we read here concerning the apostles that he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. You know, many of us are want to try to take up and escape. We want to escape ourselves, or we want to escape our circumstances, or we want to escape whatever it is that stands before us and gives us fear. But the Lord doesn't want us ever to run or to escape. We certainly, the word of God goes on record, we can never run from God. And if God has his hand on you, I think of the great Victorian poet Francis Thompson. He spoke of the hound of heaven. That hound will sniff you out and smell you out and love you out. We cannot escape from God. And there are times when he needs us to remain rooted right where we are. We may walk through a valley of a shadow of death. We may find ourselves going through a gristmill or experiencing a season of seeming deadness and stagnation and dryness. Fear not. God will be using these things to shape you and to draw deeper into your life and to draw you closer to yourself, himself, and to prepare you for what lies ahead. When you learn those lessons, he will bring you forth into the light, and you will find that it has made all of the difference in the world. Stay rooted where you are, and from where you are situated, seek the Lord, and look to receive the promise that has been given to us. Christ says here that we are to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The same Spirit who brooded over the face of the waters at the dawning of creation. The same Spirit who brings renewal throughout the seasons and brings nature back to life comes spring after the deadness of winter. The same Spirit who alighted upon Christ at his baptism, and was poured out upon the church at Pentecost, that same Spirit is readily at hand for you, and you and I are given the trust of keeping in step with him. And God will bless us, and we will be a blessing, and his name will be glorified. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I am now very pleased to be joined by a very dear man, Pastor Gregory Johnson. He is the pastor of the St. Matthew Greater Independent Church of West Philadelphia. There was a season of time some 15 years ago when Pastor and I shared in a rotation of faith columns with the Philadelphia Daily News, and of recent vintage, we stumbled across one another at the Home Depot in Conshohocken. He was not wearing a Cape May sweatshirt. He was wearing a Boston Red Sox hat. And Pastor Johnson, the hat caught my attention, and then we discovered who we were. Welcome to the broadcast. It's a joy to have you, sir. Please, it's a very standard formula that works like a charm, and no two conversations utilizing the formula are the same. It's always fresh. So first I'm going to ask you to share of yourself. How did you come into the saving faith of Christ? Tell us how you grew up in the faith and what led you to Christian ministry.
Okay. Well, I grew up in church. I'm a baby boomer. Grew up in West Philly, a Christian home. Sunday school, church every Sunday, Bible study, BTU. Got accepted Jesus Christ in Sunday school, I think on Easter. It just dawned on me at that young age that I was a sinner and I needed Jesus Christ. I remember vividly being baptized, coming up out of the water, saying, wow, now I am brand new, not knowing all the details, very, very young. But I took Christ serious. Went to, and my mom was a dynamic Christian woman, and she always said, "You know, you're gonna do something." And we would always talk. And going through the '60s, I remember listening to the oratory of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and even though I totally disagree with the theology that Malcolm X was preaching, he was so eloquent. And my mother could see me kind of being kind of carried away with the eloquence of Malcolm. And Malcolm said something about white folks being devils, and that didn't jive with my upbringing. And I remember having a conversation with my mother, and she took me to Ephesians chapter 6. And says, you know, hey, Greg, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You follow me? Our enemy is never people. It's always that which is behind people.
I praise God to hear this.
Yes, great. And so as I grew up, I was very critical of what I saw in the church, naturally as I was a critic. And she would always bring a book. She would go to a crusade. She would go to a revival and say, hey, Greg, this is what I heard. And one day she came back from this meeting and she says, Greg, you got to hear this guy. I said, okay, here's another. Somebody else with the entourage, somebody else yelling and screaming. So I said, okay. And she shared with me about this guy named Tom Skinner. And looking back over my life, Tom Skinner was probably the most influential person in my Christian experience other than my parents. I read all of his books once I heard him speak. And not so much him, but what he was saying and how I never heard the gospel presented in such a concise way. To me, in my head, he was, I always said that, you know, suppose, wouldn't it be nice if we had a Malcolm X in the kingdom? Well, to me, Tom Skinner, not so much Afrocentric, as much as a clear presentation of the relevancy of the gospel. After reading his books, Black and Free, If Jesus Christ is the Answer, with all the questions, he had a meeting in Atlantic City, years in the 70s. I remember getting on a bus, going to Atlantic City, and to hear this man who had read about it. I'm looking for the typical, somebody coming in with a bunch of bodyguards, all sharp, looking around, and I didn't see anything. What I noticed was this guy with a raggedy shirt sitting almost right in front of me, but he held us kids in our 20s, spellbound, maybe 600 of us, for 2.5 hours, talking about the relevancy of Christ, who Christ is, and it was centered around solid doctrine, which was kind of new. And from that point on, I began to get involved. One of the things that I did, I like biographies. And another guy who really impacted me was D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody, uneducated brother, goes to Sunday school, says, can he start, can he get saved? I think he sold shoes. And he says, you know, we don't have a class. So D.L. Moody said, okay, I'll go on the streets. The rest is history.
Can I tell you something about D.L. Moody, yes. Just as an aside?
Yes.
As you know, I'm a born and bred Bostonian. I could take you I could take you to downtown Boston, just up the street from where the famous Faneuil Hall Marketplace is situated.
Right.
And there's there's a sign affixed to an office building. It's a gray stone office building. You see a lot of them in Boston. And it's that on that spot where Dwight L. Moody gave his life to Jesus Christ as a young man.
Wow.
It's not widely known. I mean, Boston is not an evangelical city as a whole. But there's that placard right there. And that's where Moody, his ministry was primarily based out of Chicago. But he gave his life to Christ in Boston.
Wow.
Now, Pastor, you speak of your mother. And I've had a similar experience. My mother was such a profound influence in my life for Christ. My mother was a social butterfly. She had a brilliant intellect, deeply compassionate woman, suffered much in life, but stuck close to Jesus. And that witness of her was so, it left an indelible and beautiful stain, if you will, on my heart. And even though she's been gone for many years, her witness continues to encourage me to keep the straight and narrow. Sounds like your mom does the same to you.
Yes, there's always a great encourager. And like any good godly mother, saw more in me and the rest of my brothers and sisters more than what we saw in ourselves.
Yes, indeed.
And that was basic. And after D.L. Moody, I guess, you know, Skinner doctrine, the ability to see the relevancy of the Word of God to my everyday life. D.L. Moody, the importance of evangelism. I came back and I was glad I was teaching Sunday school, so I was going to do in Philadelphia what D.L. Moody did in Chicago. And I started in the 80s. A friend of mine, to make a long story short, who grew up with me, he was the second fastest runner in high school. Make a long story short, he was put in prison for life. And, supposed to be for life, I got there, got cut down. And I went to visit him and to share with him Christ. And lo and behold, I had never heard a person, a lay person, he had just gotten saved, didn't know that. And he, the way he spoke, he was just speaking, like breathing scripture. That was the beginning of a 40-year trek into prisons across Pennsylvania.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there. May I stop you right there? It's a breaking point for us. We're going to pick up on that in just a moment, okay? Thank you, Pastor. Okay. Pastor Gregory Johnson and Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Pastor Gregory Johnson of the St. Matthew Greater Independent Church of West Philadelphia, returning for yet another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Pastor, I had no choice but to interrupt at a certain moment.
No, good.
But you were in the middle of a beautiful thought about a friend of yours who had been in prison. Mm-hmm. He came to know the love of Christ while incarcerated. And it began for you, if I'm not mistaken, if I heard correctly, a 40-year run in the world of prison ministry. Tell us about this.
As a matter of fact, that particular person got out of prison after 6 years. And not only him, but it was five other young men who got out as well. They were called the Chosen Vessels. Every one of them were ex-convicts, and we went around for around 10, 15 years sharing the gospel. They were the Christian version of the Temptations, and I say that in a sense. They had a cappella, sharp young men, but sung the gospel of Christ Jesus. And we went all over the place. New York, we were on TV, they made an album, and that was a great way to go to places, most of the prisons in Pennsylvania, in the streets, churches, and that got me involved in prison ministry even to this day. Then I became a minister. It's interesting, the ministry, and that's a kind of a long story, but I was kind of naive, or maybe sincere, and I would hear all my life people saying that they were called to the ministry, and I'd hear stories about people waking up at night, lightning striking him and all this other stuff. Again, I said, okay, I didn't hear that. But I know that in my gut, there was not a more important message on this planet. I could not be convinced otherwise than the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God gave his son to save me from my biggest enemy, and that's me. And a sinner is not just a person who does bad things, but a sinner is a person who is independent from God. That was this in my inner being. And I had to share it. I had no problem sharing it when we go out. I would do a little, what you did, I'd do a little sermon, and the guys would sing, like the mini Billy Graham crusade. And a guy asked me once, would you come to share? And people would always say, you know, you should be preaching. I am. I'm preaching. A lot of the guys that were looking, you know, saying they're called, and probably were, but looking for a church or a pastor to license them. I didn't have to. I didn't do that. I to preach is to preach. Keep in mind, it was D.L. Moody who was my example. D.L. Moody was never a preacher. I don't think he was ordained. So
he was a pure evangelist. Yes,
a pure evangelist. And so a guy says, "Would you like to come to a church and do a revival?" I said, "No problem." As a matter of fact, I had preached at, spoke at a prison. No problem. I got a call around 2 weeks later after he had set the date for the revival, and he says, "Hey, Greg, are you licensed?" I said, "No." He said, "I can't let you preach if you're not licensed." I said, "Okay, well, how God deals with me, that was my call to preach. God knows who he's dealing with. Okay, do I say no because of something that I think, or here's a person seeing in me the ability to communicate?" And that was my call to ministry. Someone literally says, "Listen, if you want to do the revival, you got to be a preacher." So that was it. But and that was the beginning of preaching. And I was at the Mount Zion Baptist Church in West Philadelphia. One of my students, Pastor Damon Jones of the Bible Way Baptist Church, He became pastor. He called me over. I worked with him for around 6 years, and then I was doing a Saturday program for 1 hour where I taught. It was one song, and I just taught for 1 hour. And a person came up and asked me to would I be interested in a pastorate. And I'm a computer person, somewhat like Frank, but not as deep as Frank. And I said, yeah, I'm satisfied where I am. So the guy would come the next week. Would you be interested? I said, nah, that's all right. And I gave him the name of a friend of mine. He says, nah, we, make a long story short, went over to this church, and it was an independent church. As a matter of fact, it's Greater St. Matthew Independent Church.
Okay.
I'd never heard of it. The average age was, if you saw someone coming in less than 60, you would say, wow, we got young people here, right? And after listening to the little staff, my wife says, what do you think? And I said, well, listen, what I have, they need. And not from an egotistical. Based on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I have the gift of preaching, and I'm a teacher. They need it. So it was supposed to be for 6 months. 6 months in their bylaws, their independent church, a brick away from a Methodist. So after 6 months, Bible study began to grow. Make a long story short, they changed the bylaws.
And it's 40 years later, years, right?
That's, you know, 18 years later.
19.
18. And so that's where we wound up as far as pastoring.
If I may, Pastor,
it's pretty good.
You were speaking within the context of your coming to understand and to embrace your call. You talked right. about how you, in some instances, you kind of said no, or you right. know, you're fine where you are. Right. I'll tell you, right. back 20-plus years ago, I found mm-hmm. myself doing missions work, teaching missions in Russia
wow.
and in India.
Wow.
And it mm. intrigued me by your story, because I kept telling them no. Well, I worked mm-hmm. closely with the Billy Graham team in 92. And mm-hmm. coming out of that, a year later, a man calls me and says, Reverend Lacey, I understand you want to teach in Russia. And I said, sir, wow. well, who told you that? And I never did get a straight answer. And I blew him off. I said, send me some information. And I just was blowing him off. A year later, now that call came from Philadelphia. A year later, I take a phone call from Boston. Reverend Lacey, we understand you want to teach in Russia. Sir, who told you this? I still didn't get a straight answer. I still wow. shook them off by telling them to send me some information. The next year, I get a call from Phoenix, Arizona. Reverend Lacey, we understand you want to teach in Russia. Pastor Johnson, at this point, I now know God wants me to teach in Russia.
Wow,
and I did short-term assignments in Moscow for several years. And that wow. led into India. Well, to make a long story short, three times, my friend here at the station, who another gentleman amongst the sales department, I had worked with him at another station 12 years ago. He called mm-hmm. me up, would you like to come on board 1210? And I said, David, that would be wonderful, but it's just not a good time. He calls me up a year later, same query. David, that would be wonderful, but it's not a good time. I was blowing him off. Third time he comes back, another year. Now I know it's of God. It's, you know, sometimes wow. the Lord's going to find
right.
us out, and he's going
That's
to
right.
have with us what he wants. He's willing to take the time. He will be mm-hmm. gracious, but he will be persistent. And he will get, you know, I joke with people, what does God have in common with Frank Sinatra? All or nothing at all, you know?
That's
he
right.
wants all of
That's
us.
Right.
And he's going to have all of us. And I praise
exactly.
God for men such as yourself who have heeded the call.
I like the way you put it. I was kind of paranoid about being a fake. I wanted to be absolutely sure. Because there's so many, and it's not for me to judge, so many people coming up with me, I'm a preacher, and then you see some crazy things happening. And so I was perfectly happy going around sharing. Again, the likes of the Dale Moody's and those type fellows, to some degree. Even John Calvin, I think he really wasn't a clergy. I think he was a theologian.
He was one thinks of the particulars of his theology, we can disagree.
Right.
But he was the finest expositor of God's word.
Oh wow! Exactly. So in that sincere desire, I think of all of us, to speak and to share truth, the Lord will definitely have His way. And I tell you, in all honesty, going back to you, I know I'm the one being interviewed, but great message this morning. Just earlier with you, I was thinking about the scripture, fear not, for I am with
yes.
you.
Oh, yes.
Don't be discouraged, because I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Very good testimony. I really was moved.
Well, you know what? It's intriguing that you speak of this, because it was literally 2 years ago last night, as you and I are having this conversation, that I was at the Mayo Clinic. I had undergone 2 days prior major cardiac surgery. One doctor in the whole Western world could treat me. Successfully performed surgery. Two nights later, which was last night, for 7 hours, it had to do with the lungs vis-a-vis the heart. For 7 hours, I struggled to breathe.
Oh.
And in those 7 hours, I learned the truth of God's promise that He would never leave me nor forsake me. And He saw me through that night, and I will never forget it, ever.
Wow.
I will praise Him to the day I'm taken home and don't have to breathe oxygen anymore, you know? Praise the Lord.
Wow.
But Pastor, we have one more round.
Wow.
We're out of time on this current one.
Okay.
Brad Lacy and Pastor Gregory Johnson, we will return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacy of First Baptist Conshohocken, Pastor Gregory Johnson of the St. Matthew, and Pastor, forgive me if I don't get it quite right, St. Matthew Greater Independent?
Greater St. Matthew's Independent Church.
I beg your pardon. God bless you. Thank you for your forbearance. Okay.
I used to make fun of long names of churches, because it's a lot of times it's a matter of people disagreeing on something, and this was the case maybe 60 years ago.
I'll tell you, I've been accused of using too many multisyllabic words during sermons, but you've got a multisyllabic church name here.
Oh, man,
Pastor, tell us about your church.
Well, it was a spinoff. It was a Methodist church at one point, and you know how Methodists kind of move pastors around. And the founder of our church was a Methodist pastor, who was actually an architect, as a builder. So he would build a church, and then he would pastor. And they would set him up someplace else. He'd build it, and he'd pastor. And make a long story short, it got to the point. He said, "This is ridiculous. I have to stay here." And that was the beginning of the Greater St. Matthew's Independent Church. 72 years old, good fellowship, involved in ministries. Not a whole bunch right now, especially during this pandemic. But it's a good bunch of people. And we're dedicated to teaching and preaching the Word. And it might seem overly simplistic, but to me the greatest miracle is seeing a church grow without a lot of toots and whistles, but seeing it grow through the preaching, 1 Corinthians desire 14, prophecy or preaching, the teaching, the building up of people, and those people being built up after being preached to, go out and love others, and then the church grows.
Well,
very simple philosophy.
If I may put it this way, the gentleman who preceded you in our lineup, he was with me last week, Pastor Matthew Raley of the Towerminson Mennonite Church. We were talking about the importance, the profound import of truth today, the need for truth.
Right.
And then Matt Raley put it this way, but the medium, and he was drawing upon the medium of radio. So the medium, he said, by which we preach and share that truth is the agape love of Christ. I'm often want to put it that we stand firm in the word of truth as we hold forth that truth in the agape love of Christ. In order to hold it so forth, we have to be sharing and experiencing. I get the distinct impression that the agape, or the love of Christ, the very distinct love of Christ, does permeate your fellowship.
Yeah, it does. It really a good bunch of people. And even, I think, well, I'm not sure what your next question is. I'm looking at your outline here.
We're going with the flow here, sir.
Going with the flow. But that's basically our goal. As a matter of fact, even though I came there for 6 months, there are people who were, quote unquote, running for pastor. Yeah. And I remember after, they had some very good candidates, and they asked me, we want to interview you. I said, all right, no problem. I've been here 6 months. You can interview me, no problem. And they asked me, well, one of the questions was, what's your vision? And keep in mind, going back to even my call to the ministry, I want to be sure. I don't have any ulterior motive. I'm blessed. I've been married for 51 years.
I met your lovely wife at the depot. She's lovely.
So I have a job. And they said, what's your vision? And I shared with my wife before. I said, if they ask me that question and they want me to pass it, either this is the church or they're going to think I'm crazy. I said, I don't have a vision. So the people who naturally don't want you, pastor, they're like snickering, oh, wow. what do you mean? I said, the vision is Ephesians 4. My job is to teach, to build up, and the ministries come from the people. And some of them looked at me like I was crazy, but in the midst of that, because I taught there, they began to, oh, wow. And to some degree, as small as the church was when I got there, the people who elected me pastor were the people who actually began to grow from the Sunday school, from the Wednesday night Bible study, and the rest is history. But there's a beauty in the just proclaiming the gospel. One of the guys, I'm sorry,
No, no, if I may, I don't mean to be interruptive.
No, no.
But I'm just thinking, I happen to agree with you, and I know that you and I are in the distinct minority. But, you hear about vision statements and strategies and goals.
Right.
I think these things actually have proven in the final analysis to have gotten in the way.
Good point.
You know, I think of Carter Conlon up at Times Square Church in New York. He was the successor to David Wilkerson, famous for the cross and the switchblade.
Right.
Conlon
exactly.
wants nothing to do with any of this. And he says, we have played away the day of grace, and all that we have left is prayer. And I think you and I would chime in, and he would wholeheartedly concur. Proclamation and prayer. I think I agree with you. When we preach the pure word of God, that word has inherent power.
Exactly.
And God's going to make of it what he will, not what we will.
One of the things that was, I guess, validated that to me, my gift is preaching and teaching. And going back to what I said about no vision, is the people. The work of the ministry comes from the people that are built up. We had a young man who came to our church, him and his wife and his whole family, fell in love with Jesus Christ. And guess what? He was a chief bodyguard for a very popular mega star. He gave it up. Guess who started one of the most effective karate ministries in Philadelphia? This guy. And we happen to have a church that could facilitate that. If I would have said 18 years ago, I got this vision of a karate ministry. I don't know anything about karate. But guess what? There happens to be a person who fell in love with Jesus who happened to know karate, and now he can use karate as a vehicle to share the love of Jesus Christ. So we make it sometimes too complicated. I'm not mocking what other people do, but what I like to see done is the miracle of communicating the gospel. One of my heroes I think it's Jonathan Edwards.
Oh, yes, out of New England, certainly.
Oh, yeah, and he, sinners in the hand of an angry God. But the weird part about him, he was, when you hear about the great preachers, the great awakening, his name pops up. But if his style was so simple. They said he would, he couldn't hardly see. His face was to the paper. He read, but his words. So, wait a minute. Would that sell now in this? But, as Paul says, it's not with eloquent speech. And that's a great example. Here's a person who wasn't a pretty boy. He wasn't sharp. He wasn't eloquent. But what is it? Ah, the word. So I think that if you know, people talk about a second reformation, let's try just sharing the word. And none of these people were perfect. And I'm sure you're a student of history, no matter who you read, there's always some part that if it was us, we'd have issues as well. But that they attribute the Great Awakening to a large degree to Jonathan Edwards, and he was not.
He was an instrument of God. Pure and simple.
That's it.
As are you,
exactly.
Sir, as I endeavor to be.
As you are.
But we're out of time.
Wow.
God bless you, sir. It's a joy to have you. We bid this audience God's blessing in every way. Pastor Johnson and I bid you adieu. Take care.